Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Thank the Lord for His goodness. Well, just look over to somebody and tell them something nice, like they look nice, or their hairdo's nice, or... If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of 1 Kings? The book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. There were two little boys, and they were at a wedding. And one of them leaned over to the other and asked, "How many wives can a man have?" And his friend answered, 16. 16 wives. Four better, four worse, four richer, four poorer. First Kings chapter 18, and I'd like for you to go to verse 7. It's good to see all of you. Thank you. It's good to see the sunshine, isn't it? Praise God for the sun. It's good to see you. First Kings chapter 18, we're going to look at verse 7. "And now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, 'Is that you, my lord Elijah?' And he answered, 'It is I. Go tell your master Elijah is here.' So he said, 'How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, "He's not here," he took the oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, 'Go tell your master Elijah is here.'" Verse 12, "And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord God will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have heard the Lord from my youth and have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord that what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say to me, 'Go tell your master Elijah is here.' He will kill me." Then Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. For the next few minutes, Lord, bring our minds and our hearts together into one place so that we can receive. And we thank you for it. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So I want to give you a little background on the text. Obadiah is a governor in King Ahab's court. Okay. He's a man of God. He fears God. He loves God. And there's been a famine in the land. There's been a drought in the land. And Elijah is presenting himself to Obadiah, this man in King Ahab's court. King Ahab is wicked. He's a very wicked king. He does not do what is right in the sight of the Lord. But Obadiah, somehow he maintains his integrity. He has a relationship with God. He fears God. He loves God. And so he is serving in the court of Ahab. Now they come upon one another, Obadiah and Elijah come upon one another, and he says, "Look, I have a message for you. I want you to go give it to King Ahab." And Obadiah says, "Man, are you joking me?" He said, "Because what will happen is, I know that you're going to tell me this, and then the Spirit of the Lord is going to catch you away and take you to some place, and nobody can find you, and then he's going to kill me." And Elijah said, "No, that's not going to happen. You go and tell Ahab that I want to see him. I have a word from the Lord for him." And then this is what Obadiah says to Elijah. This is very key. It's kind of where we build the foundation of this message. He says, "Listen, I want you to know something that I did." He says, "I took 100 of the Lord's prophets And he said, I put 50 in one cave and I fed them food and water through this drought. And then he said, I took another 50 of those prophets and I put them in another cave and I fed them water and bread through this drought, so that if Ahab and Jezebel found one cave, then another cave would have been spared. He said, I want you to know what I did. He said, so I want you to know, Elijah, that there are 100 prophets that are in caves right now that I am feeding, and there are prophets of God. Okay? Did you get all that? Okay, so that's the foundation. Now what I want you to do is I want you to go to 1 Kings. I want you to flip one page, that's 19, and I want you to go to verse 9. Okay? It's going to take me just a minute here to build this foundation. So now we're at 1 Kings. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. Now, and they went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Now, Elijah's gone into a cave. Okay? Now he spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so he said, this is what he responded in verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life. I alone, I'm the only one left, and they seek my life. Then check out the next portion of scripture. Then he said, go out. This is God speaking. Go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great strong wind hit the mountains and it broke the rocks in pieces. Then after that happened, the next thing that happened in scripture was an earthquake happened. The whole earth shook. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire. And then after this fire, there was this still small voice that came to Elijah. So what we see is that God is showing a divine display of his power to Elijah. He's showing Elijah, this is just a touch of my power. I can cause the mountains to crumble, the rocks to break forth. I can cause an earthquake. I can cause a fire. And then the still small voice. Now, look on down to verse, now pick up at verse 13. So when Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, suddenly a voice came to him and said, here we are, what are you doing here, Elijah? He's asking him the second time. Here's his response. Look at the very last sentence in verse 14. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. God asked him the same question twice, and he gives him the same answer both times. If God asks you a question twice, and you answered it the first time, and he asked you again, it's probably because you didn't give him the right answer. Right? Would you agree? Can you cut these arrows off, please? He said, here's what I want you to notice. So he fails the test. He fails the test because he gives him the exact same answer the second time. Now, here's what the Lord says. Okay, the Lord says, look at verse 15. He says to him, he's talking to Elijah. Now go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat and Abel-Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Now, here's what I want to talk about this morning. Elijah knew. He knew the facts. The facts were there were 100 prophets 50 in each cave that had not bowed a knee to Baal. But it didn't matter, because he felt like that he was the only one left. Now, I cannot prove this, okay? So I'm going to just let you come to your own conclusions. I can't prove it. But I don't think you can disprove what I'm about to tell you. I've never noticed this before. But God said, Elijah, you knew the facts. Obadiah told you out of his own mouth, there's 100 prophets that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And you went with your feelings. He said, now go anoint Elisha. He's fixing to be the next prophet. Now, I could say that this was God's timing. It was ultimately God's timing, and God was done with Elijah. And that very well may be true. But I can also say that because he was more interested in how he felt than the facts, God said, look, you're done. Go anoint Elisha. He's going to be the prophet. And if you study a little bit of history, you'll find out that we don't hear from Elijah for 2 years. It's basically 2 years we don't hear from Elijah at all. We see no more miracles. We hear nothing else from him until we pick him back up in 2 Kings chapter 2. And then that's when he is translated through a fiery chariot into heaven. Did he make heaven? Of course he did. Him and Moses are going to be the two prophets that's going to come back down at the end of time. So we know he made heaven. But here is the point that I'm going to make, and I think it'll be hard to disprove it. Because he was more concerned about how he felt than the facts, God says, you're done. We talk about that people, you hurt my feelings. We hear that all the time. This person hurt my feelings. This person hurt me. And we understand that. All of our feelings have been hurt. But what I want to bring to you this morning is that really your feelings can hurt you. And what we have done and what I've noticed, and there's a book that I'm about to start reading. It's called The Coddling of the American Mind. The Coddling of the American Mind. It's a book that I'm going to start reading, and it's built off of three premises of why we are headed in a horrible direction. And one of the premises is this, is that we have taught that our feelings are God. That's one of the premises of this book that I'm going to start reading, because we have taught that our feelings are just like God to us. And we can ignore the facts because that's not how we feel. We don't feel this way. So basically, because we don't feel this way, it doesn't even matter what the facts say. You go with your feelings. And we've heard this for a long time. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, just do it. And brothers and sisters, what I want to try to show this morning is this. Is that we cannot allow our feelings to dictate to us more than the Word of God. Are you with me? Okay, can I get into this? Here's what I know for sure, and now we're gonna go to a little lighter side here, because that's pretty heavy stuff. But here is what I know for sure. I know that most kids wouldn't go to school if we adults didn't make them. I've raised two. And Molly still is trying to get out of school. Madeline won perfect attendance for 12 years. That's awesome. When we asked Molly, Molly, what do you want? Here's what Molly said, and I'm not making this up. She said, I know what I don't want. I don't want perfect attendance. Madeline got perfect attendance, Molly didn't. And if we didn't push Molly to go to school right now, she'd still try to find a way to get out. Here's the next thing I know. If you don't push your kids to brush their teeth, they can have dragon breath. Because they don't ever feel like, I don't feel like it. It don't matter what you feel like. My daddy would always say, get your little Easter keister in there and brush your teeth. I don't feel like going to school. It don't matter. You're going to school. And around our house, unless you had fever and vomiting, you were going to school. My daddy could have kept me out till 2 a.m. at Pit Grill. Him and another man from another town, after they got done with Sunday night, you're my witness to that. Him and Brother Fuller, and probably you, now that I think about it, y'all would all go to Pit Grill and we'd preach your messages to each other and stay up till 2, and I'm out in the car sleeping or trying to sleep, get home at 2 o'clock, put me in bed, and then get me up at 6. I'm like, oh, I'm tired, Daddy. It's all right. Get up. You'll be all right. You're young. What are you saying? I'm saying that, you know what, as we as parents, we had to push our kids, because if we didn't and they went off of feelings, they'd never brush their teeth and they'd never go to school. Right? We need to realize that regardless, brothers and sisters, of how we feel, God loves us. Can I preach it this morning without screaming it? I said, God loves us even when you don't feel like he loves you. All you got to do is go and look back at the cross, and he said, I love you this much that I was willing to die for you. I don't feel like God loves me. It doesn't matter that you don't feel like it. He loves you. He gave his life for you. We need to refuse by going by our feelings on how we feel. The question is, are we going to believe even though maybe we don't see it, we don't feel it, we can't taste it, or we can't touch it? That is called carnal. The carnal mind means that you are strictly living by the five senses, by what you see, by what you taste, by what you touch and feel and hear. And the Bible says this, that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Unfortunately, most of us Christians are being dominated by our five senses and by how we feel. And I know what it's like, brothers and sisters, to experience the power of God. I know what it's like to get the goosebumps and the tingle. I even know what it's like to feel a burning in my hand at times. I know what that's like, and I love it. But here's the facts, that after I lose the tingle and the goosebumps and even the burning in my hand, the fact remains that I still have power with God even when I don't feel the goosebump. I know that God still loves me even when I don't feel the tingle. Hallelujah. Many years ago, I thought that I had to try to get something from God. So, in other words, I look to fasting and I look to prayer in order to try to get God to give me things, okay? After years of believing like this, I've since realized that the Christian life, and I want you to get this, isn't a process of getting from God, which I thought that it was. I now believe that it is a process of renewing my mind and learning how to release what I've already received. I'm going to say that again. I used to believe that if I fasted and prayed enough, I could twist God's arm and God would give me things. I've left that belief. I now believe that when he deposited the baptism of the Holy Spirit in me, that I received the seed of everything I need. Here's what I mean by that. We're all adults here. When you get the seed of a man and it fertilizes the egg of a woman, you get a child. In that seed, you have everything you need. You have the two ears, the nose, the two eyes, you have the brain, you have it all, right? Now it has to mature. And science even says that the brain keeps maturing until around age 21, age 25. But the fact is that it's all in the seed, though it has to mature. Here is what I now believe. I now believe this is the reason why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important, is because that is God's seed now in you. It is His DNA. And then it is up to you. Here's Romans 12 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's what I'm saying. Now what you do is you start developing that seed through renewing your mind, and you understand that everything I need is already in me. I don't have to be like a dog chasing its tail, hoping to get something that I already have. Now you say, well, I don't feel it. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter that you don't feel it, Elijah. The truth is, Elijah, he said in his word, I've got the 100 prophets. They've never bowed their knee. And the truth is you have, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you've got God on the inside of you. And he didn't ask you to become a beggar to beg him for what he's already given you. He's asked you to simply believe, not based on how you feel, but based on the facts of the word of God. That makes sense. Now, here's what I believe, okay? I didn't have confidence, okay? I didn't have confidence that God's power would flow through me, because to be honest with you, even though I'm your pastor, there have been many times that I just felt unworthy. Hey, I'm going to just tell you the truth this morning, because that's all I want to tell you. Here's the truth. The truth is I don't have a special hotline to heaven. I don't. I have a great relationship with the Lord. But when you got the Holy Spirit, you got the same Holy Spirit I have. Maybe some have exercised it and grown a little more. But we all have the one Spirit, which is Christ. And when you got the Spirit, you got the fullness. You didn't get a thimbleful. The Bible says that you received the fullness of Christ. Okay. Now, I know what we say, and I understand what we say. It's some Pentecostal thoughts that we have. But when you say, you know, come up tonight and you're going to get a double anointing. Well, Elisha asked for a double anointing because he did not have the power of the Holy Spirit in him. He did not. The Spirit would come up on him. The Spirit was with him, but it wasn't in him. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got the fullness of Christ. In the New Testament, there really is no such thing as a double anointing. I know what we mean when we say that, but basically Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you. It's already in you. It's like gumbo that has good eggs in it and shrimp in it and chicken in it and sausage in it. If it stays there for a little bit, all the good stuff settles to the bottom. It's already in there. What you have to do is take a nice big spoon and stir it up. See, everything that you need is already in you. That good sausage and that good egg and shrimp and all the good stuff is already there in you. You just have to keep it stirred up. How do I keep it stirred up? By constantly renewing my mind with the Word of God. Does all that make sense? But see, what we do is we go back and we say, well, God can't use me because I just feel so unworthy. And what we Christians are doing is we are allowing our conscience to condemn us because we know we're not perfect. We know that we're not perfect, and because we know that we're not perfect, we're allowing our consciousness to condemn us. The problem is that we know ourselves better than we know anyone else. We know what we've done wrong. We know that we've had rotten attitudes at times. We know that we've had negative thoughts. And we also know how we feel. And because we know ourselves so well, we condemn ourselves. I can prove through the word of the Lord here, but I'm trying to hurry. And that is, we have not purged our consciousness with the blood of Christ. And even though we are new creatures, we still go back and look at ourselves the old way. And we say, I'm just not worthy. I'm not worthy. I don't know that God could ever use me. And what's happening is, brothers and sisters, we're going off of what we feel rather than operating by the Word of God. And what I want to bring to you this morning is I want to just bring a shift so that we start allowing the Word of God to dominate me instead of allowing my feelings to control me. Because your feelings can hurt you. I started realizing something. I realized that I was putting my faith in my performance. And I got fresh revelation when Brother Bernard was preaching. He said, you got to put your faith in the power of God. That was a light bulb to me. Because what I'm seeing is what we do is we put our faith in our performance. What does that mean? Well, if I didn't just do it perfect today, I can't pray for you because God can't use me. Oh, if you'll stay with this now, I believe it can help you. Because what we're doing is we're putting our faith in us instead of putting our faith in the power of God. That's just as if you were putting your faith in Buddha. Right. If you put your faith in Buddha, you're not going to get results because Buddha's gone. He's dead. If you put your faith in yourself, then in a sense, you're elevating yourself and you're saying, well, based off of my performance today, God can use me. And it's not putting your faith in what God did for us. It's putting our faith in what we think we're doing for God. So now when we don't feel like we are worthy and we don't feel like we made an A on our spiritual report card that day, we can't really pray for you because we don't feel like we're worthy. Now, if you catch me on the right day and I checked all the lists and I happened to get up that morning and pray and I read one chapter and I did it. I was in a hurry, but I did it. But you caught me on a good day. Well, now maybe something can happen. Because what we're doing is we're putting our confidence in our performance. What are you saying, Pastor? I am not saying that we don't need to be holy, live righteous, live godly. That is not what I'm saying. Of course we need to live holy and be righteous and speak right and do godly things. Of course we do. But my point is that many times we short circuit the power of God because we're putting more confidence in our flesh than we are in the power of God. And we stop a lot of good things that God wants to do because we're putting our faith in ourselves instead of faith in what Christ has done for us. We're basing it off of how we feel, and we're not basing it off of the Word of God. So now what I have to do is I have to keep renewing my mind. And this says, I say things like this, I am the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ lives in me. I am seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Do right now, at this very moment, do I feel like that I am seated with Christ? No, I don't. But it doesn't matter how I feel. The scripture tells me that he made me to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter that I don't feel like I'm seated right there right now. The truth is, I am righteous. Not because of what I've done, but he gave me his righteousness. See, he took my sin and he imputed to me his righteousness. So even up here right now preaching to you, I don't feel righteous. I am righteous. Why am I righteous? Because of what Christ did for me. He took my old garments of self-righteousness and he gave me his righteousness.
Now, what you have to do is you start having to talk to yourself that way. It doesn't matter that I don't feel the tingle. It doesn't matter that I don't feel the goosebump. It doesn't matter that I don't feel righteous. The Word of God says that I am righteous. The Word of God says that He loves me. The Word of God says these signs shall follow them that believe. And I say to you, turn to your neighbor and pray for your neighbor. And immediately you think about, what have I done today that disqualifies me? Listen, here's what I want to say. And I'm not calling any of us a donkey, but God used a donkey to speak through. If God can use a donkey to speak through, He can use you and I. It's not about you, brothers and sisters. It's about advancing His kingdom. And God can use anyone to advance His kingdom. So you have to quit putting confidence in your flesh. That doesn't mean you go out and sin. Doesn't mean that. That's not what I'm saying. You want to be a vessel of holiness unto the Lord, right? Okay? But here's the deal. The deal is this. Even when you sin, God doesn't leave you. I know you've been taught that, but that's not true. God does not leave you when you sin, because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. How can God leave you and lead you at the same time? He can't. God stays with you and He shows you His goodness so that He can bring you back to an altar of repentance. Now, you shouldn't continue in sin, you know, that grace may abound, God forbid. But the fact is, brothers and sisters, God doesn't leave you when you sin. He doesn't. I know that's not what we've been taught, but God just doesn't pull His roots out and say, okay, I'm done with you. Listen, because you know what? You can in sincerity repent, and then God comes back. And this, guess what? You can still mess up the later part of the day. And then God leaves again. I mean, God would be schizophrenic with some of you. Oh, I'm here. No, I'm not. Oh, I'm here. No, I'm not. Well, I show up. No. No. God loves you. He loves you. You will never, N-E-V-E-R, you will never be good enough to earn the grace and the merit of God. That's why it's called grace. So quit putting the worthiness in yourself and put it where it belongs, and that is what Jesus did for you, and stop going by your feelings and start walking by faith. Because when you're carnal-minded, your carnal-mindedness says, I got to see it to believe it. And God says, no, I want you to believe it, and then you're going to see it. I want you to speak it, and then you're going to receive it. I don't want you to go by how you feel. He said, Abraham, you're a father of many nations. And he had to laugh because he didn't even have a son yet. See, this is how God operates. This is an upside-down kingdom. What works in the world doesn't work in the kingdom. What works in the kingdom doesn't work in the world. And you have to decide, am I going to try to get God's joy living the world's values? Because if you are, you're going to be very frustrated. I'm going to try to have God's peace living the world's values. And God says, no, you can't get my peace living world's values. You can't get my joy living world values. You can't get all this stuff and think it's going to make you happy, because you're just trying to get stuff to comfort you, but I'm the comforter. And the only way you're ever going to be satisfied is if you go all into me. And then I'm going to satisfy you in ways that things could never satisfy you. Did that just make sense? Okay, so now I have to, here's what I'm learning now. Learning now, I've been in this process. The rest of your life isn't learning how to get from God, but rather discovering how to release what He's already placed in us. Okay, I got just a couple minutes. On the screen, I want you to look at Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. And by the way, some of you didn't even know Philemon was in the Bible, but you probably want to read that little book so when you meet Philemon in heaven, you can tell him, I read your book. Okay? So this is why I want to take you, because I want you to read his book so when you get to heaven, you're not going to be embarrassed. Here's what it says in Philemon 1 and 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is coming, which is hopefully going to arrive. It's like, you know what? I hope my boat comes in. I've seen these t-shirts. I hope my boat comes in, but sure as well, I'll be at the airport. That's how some people think. I'll be at the airport when my boat comes in. Really? And here's what they believe. They believe that they don't have it. They don't have it. So they're waiting on it to come, and they're hoping they're at the right place at the right time, but knowing their luck, they'll be at the airport. That's how many Christians feel. I'm really hoping it's going to come. I'm hoping one day I'm going to be spiritual enough. I'm really hoping one day I can lay hands on somebody and see God do a great work in their life, but I just don't feel it. I mean, I just know I'm not there. I mean, you know, I don't study my Bible nearly like I should, and, you know, God knows all the stuff I've done. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press. I don't look back at what I was. I just keep pressing on to what God wants me to be. I don't condemn myself. I don't condemn myself. See, condemnation does not come from God. Condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from God, not condemnation. Anytime I'm feeling condemnation, I know this is the devil. This is the work of the enemy. The enemy's trying to make me feel this way so that I don't do what God wants me to do. And I start looking at myself instead of looking to God. Has this just made sense? You've got to acknowledge. Go back to that scripture, please. You've got to acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Not in yourself, but in Christ Jesus. See, we don't really see any manifestation of power and victory and joy until we start renewing our minds and discovering what God has placed in us already. All right, I really don't want to quit, but I'm trying to do better. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you a quick story, and then we'll go. Work with me. Ready? Let's say that I looked at each and every one of you and told you that in your front yard, there is $1 million buried in your front yard. $1 million buried in your front yard. Okay? You go to your front yard, and you look. And you notice there's no dirt moved. There's no grass moved. Everything looks the same as it did. I don't see anything different in my front yard. Now, you have a choice. Here's the choice. Two choices. You can either go based off of what you see, or you can go based off of what I told you. And you have to decide, do I believe Pastor and do I trust him and his word? Or based off of what I see, I don't believe there's $1 million in my front yard. Now, here's the dilemma. If you go based off of what you see, and there's truly $1 million in your front yard, then you can be living right next to abundant wealth that could truly help you and yours and never receive it and never be blessed by it because you went off. I don't see any dirt moved. I don't know how Pastor could bury $1 million in my front yard. I see no signs of it whatsoever. And there could be $1 million buried in your front yard, but because you went off of what you saw, you don't touch it. You don't believe it. And you could be struggling even to pay a bill, and there's wealth laying under your feet, but you don't touch it because you don't believe my word. Or you could say, you know what? I do believe Pastor and I do trust him. So even though I don't see this $1 million, I'm going to start digging. And then you have a choice. Here's your next choice. You can get a spoon and dig. Going to take you a little while. Or you can get a shovel and start digging. Or if you say, you know what, I really do believe my pastor, he's never lied to me and I trust him, you could rent a backhoe and start digging. And if my word was true, you didn't do it based off of what you saw. You did it based off of trust because you trusted my word. Faith said, I'm bringing a backhoe. Now, here's the deal. God's word and what it says, you have to ask yourself, am I going to trust that word? Or am I going to walk by what I see, hear, feel, taste, and touch? Because this word is full according to scholars, 6,000 to 7,000 promises are in this word. And this is a wealth of riches. And it can lay there untapped because you are more concerned about how you feel than you are trusting what His Word says. Your feelings can hurt you. I can't prove it, but I don't know that you can disprove it. Elijah the great prophet, God said, I'm done. Because after I showed you all of my power, and after you knew there was 100 prophets that didn't bow, you still chose to go based off of how you felt. You're going to be saved. You're going to be one of the great prophets. But for now, you're done. And here's what I'm saying to you as I close. Brothers and sisters, I prophesy to you this morning that the wind of God is going to blow in this house. I don't know when, but I prophesy to you the wind of God is going to blow in this house. And when the wind starts blowing and the command goes forth, lay your hands on your neighbor and pray over him right now. Speak a word of faith. You know what? I can't have you saying, I don't feel it and I didn't do good on my spiritual report card today. You got to go back to what God did for you. And you got to go back to your knowledge of the Word. It doesn't matter how I feel. I am righteous. I am a child of God. Healing belongs to me. Deliverance is mine. Salvation is mine. Freedom is mine. Stand to your feet if you receive God's Word and giving praise right now. Giving praise right now. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. To all of our guests, to all of our guests, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you don't have to come to this front this morning, but I want to end with this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you somewhere, get alone with God, and I want you to raise your hand. I want you to lift up your head to heaven and say, God, I repent of all my sins. Forgive me. And Father, I want to be filled with your Spirit because I understand now your Spirit is that DNA inside of me. And here's what the Scripture said. I didn't say this, so don't throw rocks at me. Here's what the Scripture said. Unless you have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Right? That's what the Word says. So I want to make sure that I have your Spirit in me so that when that trumpet sounds, I'm lifted off the ground. And then God's just going to take your mouth and He's going to put syllables through your mouth and you're going to speak words that you never spoke before. And that's going to be an evidence to you of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, all I ask is that you stay open and say, God, I may not understand it. I may not get it all. But if it's for me, I want it. Are you willing to do that? Amen. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for your word today. For your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And God, all I've tried to do today is to dethrone the idol of our feelings. Because we are so feeling-based. I feel this. I don't feel that. I feel good. I feel bad. I don't feel like I don't feel. And God, we have made, Lord, an idol out of our feelings. And what I'm trying to do today as your man is to dethrone that idol. And to knock it off of the throne. And Lord, to say, it doesn't matter how I feel. I come to you in faith believing that you are who you say you are and you can do what you say you can do. And God, you can do it through me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, work through me. Right now, before you go home, would you just as a sign of surrender, lift up your hands and cry out to the Lord right now? Would you just cry out to God and say, God, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, not to walk by sight. Help me, Father, not to walk by how I feel, but let me walk by the faith of the Son of God. Let me, oh Lord, realize that I'm righteous because you made me righteous. That I'm worthy because you made me worthy. That I can do what you say I can do. And I can be, God, what you say I can be. Hallelujah.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website,
tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincey. TPC, loving God and loving people.